The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Morning. I don't know if you noticed this, but we have something that doesn't happen too often. All three of our readings have the same thing happening in all three of them. I want to start with that gospel that we just heard, right? Simon, who would of course go on to become the chief of the apostles, the very first pope. Simon is told by our Lord, well, our Lord gets in the boat and goes out a little bit to preach. There's so many people pressing in on him, he has to move away from them a little bit, and getting in the boat and getting offshore is the only way. So he preaches, and then after he preaches, he says to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Now, Simon says, "We've been doing this all night, we haven't caught anything." But, you know, almost as if to kind of maybe justify himself, just kind of like, look what I mean, I'll show you. Or maybe he had an idea that the Lord was going to do something. We don't know, but he does what the Lord says. He lowers the nets, and he catches a great number of fish, Luke tells us. So much so that they have to bring over the other boat. They fill both boats with fish to the point of sinking. And what's Simon's reaction to this? Simon sees this great miracle, this great unbelievable event. And what's his reaction? His reaction is a realization of his own sinfulness, his own unworthiness, the fact that he had doubted our Lord. And what does he do? He drops to his knees and he says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But now look at our Lord's reaction. Our Lord doesn't say, "Yeah, you are. I told you so." No, what does our Lord say? Our Lord says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And we could say, now you know the rest of the story. The rest is history, right? He became the chief of the apostles and continued to undergo his own conversion, of course. But that's the beginning. Right there. That's the beginning of the church. That's the beginning of our Lord sending out into the world all of us who are so sinful and unworthy, right? But it all started with witnessing this great event. And after seeing this great event, after witnessing this miracle, realizing that we are pretty sinful, that we are pretty unworthy, and yet being sent anyways. And we see that exact same thing happening in the first reading. Isaiah, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, he has this vision. He sees the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne, his train of his garment filling the entire temple. Seraphim stationed above, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, all the earth is filled with his glory." That's where the Sanctus comes from. And what's Isaiah's reaction? He sees this great miracle. He has this great vision of the glory of the Lord. And Isaiah's first reaction is, "Woe is me, I am doomed." That's what it says. He realizes, I've just seen this amazing thing. And we see this throughout scriptures. Whenever an angel comes and visits someone, their first thought is, well, we're dead now because we've just seen this great, you know, our eyes are going to be burned out now because we can't stand to see anything else after seeing that. And that's Isaiah's reaction. Woe is me, I'm doomed. He's aware of his own sinfulness, his own unworthiness, and not just his, but those around him. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. But then, what happens? One of the seraphim comes to him with this ember taken from the altar of incense, touches his lips, and says, basically, this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged. Basically saying, don't worry. And then he hears the voice, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responds, here I am, send me. Exact same thing happening. Seeing this great miracle, witnessing this amazing vision should, as it did to Isaiah, make him realize, like, I am not worthy of this. And yet, being sent anyways. We saw it in the first reading. We saw it in the gospel. And it's basically what St. Paul is talking about, too, in that first letter of his to the Corinthians. We don't get his whole conversion story, but we know it. And he alludes to it here. He talks about how he was not even worthy of being called an apostle because he himself had persecuted the church of God, he said. Remember Paul's story. Paul was one of the Jewish zealots persecuting this new sect coming along by this guy Jesus from Nazareth. And remember Paul's situation. He was actually on his way. He had received letters. He had received permission from the chief scribes and Pharisees to go and, you know, smash out this group. He was on his way to persecute Christians. Remember his conversion story? We celebrate at the end of January. He was on his way to persecute the church when he has this vision of our Lord. And remember the story. He hears this voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not why are you persecuting this new group that's causing some problems. No, why are you persecuting me? And remember the story, he falls to the ground. He says, who is this, you know? And he says, it's me, Jesus of Nazareth. And remember Paul, he goes blind. He has witnessed this great miracle. He realizes that he is persecuting God, that this is not just some newfangled group, but that in his attempt to smash out this little group here, he's going against God. And he realizes this. His reaction is all of a sudden one of his awareness of his own sinfulness, his own unworthiness. And then what does our Lord do, though? Our Lord sends Paul out to become the apostle to the Gentiles. Our Lord doesn't say, yeah, well, you were persecuting me in the church, and now you're going to hell. No, the Lord says, no, and now I'm sending you. And of course, Paul would go on to write most of the New Testament. So in all three of these, we see something that I think can be helpful to us. We see two things. First is that when we experience God, and I would submit to you that we do that most perfectly in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, when we literally witness a miracle. Literally. We've gotten so used to the Mass that we don't think of the Mass as a miracle. You know, if the sun came out and it got hot all of a sudden, everyone would say, oh, it's a miracle. And yet, when bread and wine is turned into human flesh and blood, oh, well, yeah, I was at Mass. But this is a miracle. It's about to happen here on the altar. And I think what the three readings are trying to tell us today is that our reaction to seeing something like this should be, as it is throughout Scripture, as it was for Isaiah after having seen his vision, as it was for Paul after seeing his vision, as it was for Peter after seeing this great miracle worked in front of him with the multiplication of fish, our reaction should be one of awareness of our own sinfulness, awareness of our own unworthiness. And yet, what happens next? The Lord doesn't smite us. The Lord says, yeah, you are sinful, you are weak, and objectively, you are unworthy. All of us are. And yet, God sends us anyways. God says, I do not choose the qualified, I qualify the chosen. I'm going to send you anyways. It's good that we be aware of our sinfulness. It's good that we be aware of our weakness. That should be the first reaction. It would be weird if we didn't have that reaction. That would be an indication perhaps of pride and of stuff like that. But our reaction should be one of awareness that, Lord, I've seen something amazing. I've encountered you. I continue to encounter you every day in prayer, especially in the Mass every Sunday and every day if you so choose. And it should be an awareness of our own unworthiness, our own sinfulness. But then we can't leave it there. We have to recognize that what is the Lord doing to us in and through the Mass? The very last words of the Mass, ite, missa est, go. Go. It's not so much a dismissal. It's not so much saying, all right, everyone, Mass is over. You can leave now. No, it's saying, you are sent. Go. You are now sent, like Isaiah, like Paul, like Peter. You are now sent to go out into the world with that awareness in your head, of course, of your own unworthiness, your own weaknesses, but yet recognizing that God's going to work in and through that, right? What does St. Paul tell us elsewhere in Scripture? It's when I'm weak that I'm strong. It's when I'm weak that God is able to really fill me and work through me. It's when I try to get in the way and I try to, you know, get all puffed up with my own abilities that things get in the way. Some of you know that I was on my annual retreat this last week. Priests are required, thank God, required to take a week-long retreat each year. And I go to this Byzantine Catholic monastery up on the Upper Peninsula, the Keweenaw Peninsula of Michigan. It's like a peninsula off the peninsula. It's literally like right in the water. And it's beautiful, and it snowed every single day, and so I didn't sweat at all, and it was wonderful. But they're Byzantine Rite. They're not Roman Rite like we are. And there are a lot of differences. The liturgy is entirely different. I mean, a lot of similarities, but very foreign. One of the things that I always thought was interesting in the Mass, which they don't call the Mass, they call it the Divine Liturgy. In the Divine Liturgy, after the people come forward and receive communion, the abbot would take the chalice filled with the remaining blessed sacrament, and he would come back out to the congregation and bless everyone with it, and he would say, this was prescribed right in the missal, right in the rubrics, he would say, this has touched your lips, it will remove your wickedness and purge your guilt. And I always thought, well, that's kind of nice. And I just assumed, well, this is, you know, just part of the Byzantine Rite, and I wonder where that's from, I don't know. And then I was preparing for this homily, and I thought, you idiot. It's from Isaiah. It's right here. This is what the seraph said. This is what the seraph said to Isaiah. He said, see, this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged. I thought, that's where they get it from. They got it from Isaiah. But that also puts it into context. The abbot wasn't just saying, all right, you've received communion now, Your sin is gone. No, what he's saying is, you've received communion, and that should really scare you. That you've just approached something really dangerous, and that should really frighten you. But don't worry. It has touched your lips. Your wickedness is removed. Your sin is purged. It's not just a recognition that, okay, you've received communion. This is what it's done to you. No, it's you should recognize that you have approached something very, very holy. And lest you die of fear, let me just tell you that this is what it has done for you. Don't freak out, as you should. Recognize that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged. And again, what happens next? And now you are sent. You are sent. And we hear that right at the end of the Mass. So let's today have a try to foster perhaps a greater awareness of the miracle that really does happen here on the altar every single Sunday, and again, every single day if you choose. And just be aware of that twofold process, that one, we need to become, I know I need to become every single day more and more aware of my own limitations, my own weaknesses, my own sinfulness, but not to leave it there. The Lord doesn't want us to fall into depression and you know, no. He wants us to have a healthy awareness of our own weakness and sinfulness, but then also to realize that it's precisely because of that that God is able to work through us. So let's pray for that grace today.